Because very often, chasing that picture of perfection, we chase so fast and so hard that we lose sight of what I am really. We run away and then we can't find the way back. And that was my journey. I was doing everything by the book, choosing always the right thing to do, or seemingly the right thing to do, until one day I realized that I had forgotten what it was.
The Fearless and Successful podcast is hosted by your Hype Girl D, and it's designed for change makers just like you. As an activator of human potential and freedom architect, I have one mission with this podcast: to show you that you can be, do, and have anything you desire. I love all things money, mindset, and manifestation. I am so excited to share my personal hacks to help you activate your infinite potential. And I also will be sharing fearless stories from leaders around the world who designed life and business on their own terms. Remember, if we can do it, so can you. Fearless soul, if you're ready to dream big and make impact, let's get this party started. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, all fearless people. I am so honored and so pleased to have some of the most inspiring female leaders that I had the honor to meet in person, not once, but twice. And I am just like, I'm beaming with gratitude to have Christina Mandlakiani with me on the podcast. Thank you so much and welcome.
Thank you, Diana, for having me. It's a pleasure.
So amazing. And I want to go directly into what is the intention of this episode. And let's start with, becoming flossom. Why did you, it's such an amazing word. And I want to just ask you, why did you chose that word? And what does that actually mean for you?
So I actually didn't choose the word chose me. You know, sometimes that kind of thing happens. I was writing a book about coming back to yourself, because that was the question I had in mind. And I think we tend to get lost somewhere in the folds of long life. But as I was writing the book, I came across the word flossom and it just clicked, and I thought it was perfect word for my book. So since it wasn't, it didn't belong to anyone, I adopted it and I gave it my meaning. Of course, I think everybody will give their own tint of a meaning to that word. But in my opinion, it's about recognizing our imperfections and finding courage to see those imperfections as something which makes us beautiful and unique and valuable.
Yeah, I love that. And writing this book was actually inspiration from your own life. Do you want to share a story how that got to be birthed?
Well, I believe we do get inspiration from our life. That's pretty much normal. I mean, where else could we get inspiration if not from our own life? Although the book is not about me, and that's a somewhat deceiving thing. Some people actually imagine it's my story, which it's not. You won't be even able to piece it into one coherent story. I use my own life, of course, as an illustration every once in a while. But my own journey, I think, is quite common for a lot of people. And a lot of people who actually listen to podcasts and go to events and want to grow and transform, a lot of us are very well-meaning people. We all want to be better. We all want to be the best version of ourselves. And that's in the name of that ideal. That's why we go into all those learnings and teachings and courses and events. But it's also a slippery slope, because very often chasing that picture of perfection, we chase so fast and so hard that we lose sight of what I am really. We run away and then we can't find the way back. And that was my journey. I was doing everything by the book, choosing always the right thing to do, or seemingly the right thing to do, until one day I realized that I had forgotten what it was what I was, who I was.
Wow, this is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I guess that's the, you know, the part of authenticity that you talk about in the book, right? I think that everyone who's listening to this, they found themselves where they were living life that was not authentic. And I want to just ask, like, why is authenticity important to you to showcase to people? Like, what drives you to actually create this impact through authenticity?
I actually, that's a very curious question. And don't be shocked if I tell you that I don't care about authenticity too much. why I say that is that's not my object. Although very often people would say that, you know, finding your path back to you is about being authentic. True, but authenticity is more a consequence of that journey. It's not the destination, or let's say it's not the goal. Why I say I don't care is because it's everybody's choice whether they want to be, however they want to show themselves to the world. Now, with that said, authenticity is not something that you can show, you can use as a weapon, wield as a weapon. It is a deeply personal matter. It is your relationship with yourself. And in that aspect, I always find it a little bit ironic when in our industry it's common to put the word authenticity and impact or influence into one sentence. But if you think about it, influence is a vector. You are trying to influence something, an object, and authenticity is relationship with yourself. It's not a vector. So the moment you use authenticity to influence someone, it stops being authenticity. It becomes a vector. It becomes a weapon. I like your the mind belly. Thank you.
Wow, that's true fireworks. Like, I love this. And let's explore deeper, like, your relationship with yourself. I'm just curious, is that the part where we create this relationship with ourselves that is part that is loving ourselves or caring about ourselves? Which part is self-care? Which part is self-love? Tell us about that.
This is a really good direction of conversation. I would say that, you know, you are in relationship with yourself, whether you put effort into that or not. And if we take as an analogy relationship with a lover or with children or with parents, it doesn't matter. We are in many relationships. Take whichever relationship is important to you. If you take it as an analogy, whether you work on it or not, there is a relationship. Whether you pay attention to not or not, there is a relationship. Sometimes the relationship is healthy, sometimes it's not. Oftentimes when we don't pay attention, it becomes unhealthy. Oftentimes when we don't work on it, although I actually don't like equating relationship to hard work, but still you need to be conscious or aware of it. It becomes unhealthy. So that's the thing what happens to us. We are so terrified by the idea of self-love, or authenticity for that matter, because society demands so many things about authenticity. We're so afraid of that relationship that we choose not to pay attention to it. You know, like there's research that says that unfortunately some of the younger generations have issues with commitment because they are afraid of relationships. So what happens is that if you don't work on that, it's just going to be an unhealthy relationship. And that's the only consequence of ignoring your authenticity. I can use that word now that I've said that I don't care about it. Now, when it comes to self-care, then there's a huge difference. We are a little obsessed with self-care because it's tangible and it's understandable. And self-love is a little more complicated because self-love is a relationship. Self-care is a ritual. Relationship is very seldom a ritual. So a very simple analogy would be, and do not know if you're watching it or if you're listening to it, but I have my phone in my hand. I charge this device because if I don't charge it, it will die, but not because I love it. And that's the difference between self self-care and self-love, we have to take care of ourselves because we won't survive if we don't. But self-care is not a guarantee of self-love. You can care of yourself without loving yourself. Think of the children who have everything they might need except their love, their parents' attention. These children grow without love. So we do that as well because it's so much easier to understand self-care. It's ritualistic. You can put extra effort into that. You can work harder on that. So very often, rather than dealing with something which is inexplicable, which is a relationship with self, we busy ourselves with self-love, hoping that this is going to compensate for the lack of self-love. Or let's say, but I'm taking care of myself. Everything is fine. So we very often run away from the problem that our relationship with self does not exist into self-care.
Wow. I love this when, because I somehow as a mother, you know, I would tend to, you know, or I was thinking that I care about myself and I would do all these self-care rituals, but I realized that actually loving myself means that I show my kids how it is to put my priorities also first and to really like showing them it's not just about putting the face mask or but really like what do I need and showing them that I also have needs. So that's beautiful.
And I'm sorry if I'm interrupting your train of thought, but you know it's really good. If you love your kids, it's so easy to understand. For me, love for the kids is the role model, is the thing that I'm aspiring for. I'm sure you feel the difference between preparing a good meal for your children versus being there with them when they need you.
For sure. So good. Yeah. Wow. Such a big distinction. Thank you. Yeah. That's so, so important. As a hacking happiness queen, what would you say, like, which one brings us more happiness? And do we require both self-love and self-care to be truly ultimately happy?
Well, we require self-care to survive, as I said. And it is not a path to either self-love or happiness. It's just a prerequisite. It's like we breathe, we sleep. It's just a prerequisite. Now, when it comes to happiness, you absolutely need to learn to love yourself. You cannot be truly happy if you don't love yourself. Imagine any paradise place. You're sitting there. You have everything in the world, except that you really dislike what you are. Any kind of paradise place is going to be ruined by that feeling that something is wrong with you, that you're not lovable. You can't love yourself. You know, you should be something so different. So self-love is absolutely necessary for you to feel happy, because you can't feel happy if you don't love yourself. But with that said, just because you love yourself is not a guarantee you will be happy. You'll probably be a little happier than if you don't love yourself. But the causality goes, I believe, one way. I mean, of course, if you are happy, you'll probably treat yourself better, but you treat the whole world better. And of course, I mean, if you're happy, you probably love yourself anyway. But if you love yourself, you can still have problems in life, and you can still even be depressed and be scared. But self-love makes everything so much more easy and much. It is much easier to deal with your life's challenges if you're kind to yourself.
Yeah, wow, so good. And I want to kind of wrap up this with the last question. I think that was really just so intriguing for me, that you also talk in your book about the dark side of personal development, personal growth. And it is that... You know, we feel that we coaches, consultants, like people who work with other people, like we need to be always happy and have this good vibes only. And you label them, or not label, like you mentioned, like they're toxic good vibes only, right? So tell us about that, because I think this is like really, really important for all people who are listening, because they are in personal growth. And what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so I have to explain why I do that. I have been years and being one of the co-founders of Mind Valley and working with all the teachers, I feel a little bit at liberty, you know. I have contributed to this thing. So I consider me taking steps at personal growth a little bit as self-irony as well, because I've been there and I've done all of that. And I know the pain. That's why I talk about that. But to understand why I talk... when I talk about the dark side, you have to understand that I don't believe in absolutes. And I think that life is full of opposite forces working at the same time. So my interest in the so-called dark side started with Susan David's. Susan David is... psychology from South Africa, and she has a wonderful TED talk on emotional on dealing with emotional pain. And she's the person who suggested that you can't divide emotions into good and bad, in positive and negative. You can divide them in want to feel more and emotions you want to feel less. So remove the judgment from your emotional landscape, which actually the whole process, the domino started falling. I realized that this kind of judgment should be removed from pretty much everything. Of course, I have to explain that I'm not questioning the rules of morality and ethics, obviously. But when we talk about everyday life, we are so quick to judge this is good and this is bad. And I think if I were to sum up, because I take little stabs at personal growth throughout the book, I'm sorry. I hope it doesn't. Well, if it offends someone, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. But to
being authentic, right?
I have hard times. I have hard times not saying what I feel, not expressing my truth, or what I consider to be truth. So the probably the conclusion to why I do that is, or the one big takeaway about the personal growth industry is that a lot of it is built on judgment. And even though we say that judgment is bad, but if you listen to yourself talk, for example, or if you pay attention to your relationship to yourself, especially if you're in personal growth and transformation industry, I guarantee there's a lot of judgment there. You judge yourself that you're not good right now. That's why people come to personal growth, because they want to be a better person. They want to become something so much better. And that wanting to be something better very often is based in the judgment that what you are right now is not good enough. The dark side. What if I try a different experience? What if try to do something which I have not done? Or let's say, why are things happening this way? Why do I feel this way? Why do I react this way? So rather than judging, just be this is the most mysterious thing that just happened. Do you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh God. I everything just disappeared back again. So I'll just wrap it up. I think if we replace judgment with curiosity, it would be a much more enjoyable journey. And I also believe that the transformation would be way more profound and more sustainable.
Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because if you just the part that if you are like first, there's no good and bad emotions. I love that. Like, that part is so on point. And we are always trying to judge our emotions. And what you said, like, being not taking judgment or your drive to transform yourself or be better
as a judgment, but actually a way to move forward. That is so, so important. And I love that. It's such a great explanation of why personal development even is important, right? Was there any question that I forgot to ask you and you would like, I want to share this. This is really important.
If you have forgotten to ask something, then ask me again sometime later.
I love that. Yeah, for sure. I think we covered everything. So tell us also, like, where can people who are listening to this, where can they grab your book, Becoming Flossom?
I believe that by the time when it's published, the book should be on the shelves, in US. Amazing. Bookstores, and I've heard in the airports as well. but if you're not in US or flying through, then the place to get the book is from either Mind Valley website or my own website, mindvalley.com/books/flossom, because there it comes with all the bonuses that work especially for this campaign. But of course you can buy it in the book as well.
Amazing. So you guys, you heard her. You can go to the link in the show notes and grab the book from that link, and you're gonna get all the juicy Flossom bonuses. So that is super fun. Christina, thank you so much for your time, and thank you so much for all the work. I'm just truly inspired by everything you are and everything you represent. Thank you.
And for making me feel at home. I felt really comfortable, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, you guys, you have all the links, and connect with Christina, say hi on Instagram, on LinkedIn, whatever you are, and have fun, and don't forget to be awesome. Or flossom.
My fearless soul, thank you so much for tuning in and taking the time to listen to this episode. I appreciate you, and I'm so excited to hear from you. If you haven't yet, please go to kite.link/forward insider and leave a review. Extra points if you screenshot this episode and post it on your IG stories and tag me at Diana Lugoli and tell me what's your big takeaway. With that being said, I'm sending you a daily dose of D. I love you, and I'm so, so grateful for you. Till infinity. Mwah.